Genesis chapter 32. The subject tonight is Jacob's prayer. Jacob's prayer. I don't know that I've ever preached from this before. I may have. Don't know whether I've heard a message from it. I may have, but it's interesting. Genesis 32. Let's read the first 13 verses. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, unto the land of Seirah, the country of Eden. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my brother, my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now many, many years. Now I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants. Now I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight, to tell my brother that I may find grace in thy sight." And the messengers returned. They came back to Jacob and said, "We came to your brother Esau. And also he cometh to meet you, 400 men with him." Esau had sworn to deal with Jacob because of Jacob taking the birthright. And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two bands. You remember he told us how many people were with him. He had several sons, too, and children. Leah and Rachel, all these servants. Divide them into two bands, and he said, if Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob prayed. Now listen to this. O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto your country and to your kindred, and I'll deal well with you. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan. When I came this way, running from my brother, I didn't have anything but a shepherd's staff. And now I'm going back, and I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mothers with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother. How can anyone explain this unusual man, Jacob, except to say he was an object of God's free, sovereign, peculiar, particular, discriminating grace. Often when the God of heaven is referred to in the scriptures, he's referred to as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's really nothing about Jacob, and he confesses that. He said, I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies. I'm not worthy of all the truth which thou hast revealed to me. I'm not worthy. There was nothing about Jacob that would merit God's favor. Nothing about Jacob that would merit God's blessings. Nothing whatsoever. I've heard people, preachers particularly, try to describe Jacob, and I'm not sure that I agree with them. I hear many preachers say, well, he was a spoiled brat, he was a mama's boy and all that. I don't find any foundation for that in the scriptures at all. Jacob was a hard-working man. He was a devious man. But Jacob was a hard-working man. He was a clever man, intelligent man. They talk about trying to divide the two. Esau was a hunter and a daddy's boy and all this. No, he was the firstborn son. He was hairy and probably ugly. But that doesn't mean Jacob was a sissy at all. His mother loved him, but God told his mother before he was ever born, you remember? Rebekah was a strong-willed woman. She's just doing what God said to her. God told her before that boy was born, he was going to have the birthright. Didn't he? Before the children were born, neither having done any good or evil, God said to her, the elder shall serve the younger, and she's fixing it up. That's what she did. She felt she was doing the will of God. Just like Rahab. Rahab lied, but she did the will of God. God used the wiles of women to accomplish his will in a lot of things. When they don't do things exactly like some you men would do them, but she's determined that boy should have the birthright. But that doesn't make him a mama's boy at all. His mama told him, you're going to have the birthright. And she saw to it. But Jacob was a strong man. He went down to Laban's, labored 7 years for Rachel, and he was tricked, you remember, like he tricked his brother. And he married Leah. So he labored 7 more years. That's 14 years for the love of one woman. For a strong man. And then the Lord used him to prosper Laban. Like you read that last chapter back there where he was talking to his wife, Rebecca, and he told her, Rebecca, that was his wife's name. Jacob told her, said, I've prospered your daddy. He worked for him and prospered you there. Rachel, he told her, he said, I've worked hard for your father, and he's prospered since I've been here. So, yeah, I'll tell you this about him, though. Here's the things I know about him. This has the foundation of God's word. Number one, God loved him before he's born. God loved him before he's born. Secondly, God chose him in Christ before he was born. And thirdly, God gave him the birthright, spiritual blessing, before he was born. And fourthly, God met him at Bethel and revealed the gospel to him. He met him at Bethel, and he revealed to him the gospel. Showed him the ladder to heaven. That's Christ. And I'm going to read you in a few moments what God said to him there. And fifthly, God never forsook him in all of his wanderings and so forth. God never took his hand off Jacob and never forsook him. And in the sixth place, God gave him a new name. He called him Israel. He said, your name is no longer Jacob. It's now Israel, a prince. And throughout the Old Testament, every believer is referred to as a son of Jacob. Let me show you that. Turn to the book of Malachi. I know you've seen this in the scripture, but here's what I'm saying. And it's written many times in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, sons of Jacob. Down here in Malachi chapter 3 it is, verse 6. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's you and me. And the reason we're called sons of Jacob is this. Like Jacob, not much to us. Not much. Not by nature, not by birth. We're sons of Jacob in the fact that we're sinners. Sinners from birth, from Adam. But like Jacob, number one, we're loved with an everlasting love. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. God's sovereign, particular love is upon us. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Secondly, we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Not only before we were born, before the foundation of the world, we were chosen in Christ. We're sons of God. And thirdly, we're children of the promise. Everyone who's a believer is a child of the promise. God promised Jacob the birthright. And that's what he's given us. Made us kings and priests unto God. That's what Jacob was. He's king of the home, the tribe, the people. They're priests. And then we've been to Bethel. God, what is Bethel? The word Bethel, what is it? It's house of God. When Jacob awoke from that dream, he said, "This is verily the house of God." And every one of us, God brought us to the house of God and revealed the gospel to us. The way to himself, the way to glory. And then in all of our wanderings, in all of our ups and downs and failures and mistakes and whatever, he's never forsaken us. Never forsaken us. Always had his hand on us. Always blessed us. Always kept us. Always rescued us. Always called us back to Bethel. Come on back. Come on. Always forgiven us. Always lifted us. Always. And then we have a new name. Beloved, behold what manner of love God hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. That's what he called Jacob. He said, "Your name no longer is Jacob. It's Israel, Prince, Son of God." We're sons of God. Yet, back to my text. Let's get to it. Now, Jacob's life was not easy. You'd be blessed to read the life of Jacob and reading it, see our own lives. Jacob's life was not easy. Oh, it was a life of triumph. But it was a life of trouble. Trouble, great trouble. He had so many troubles you can identify with if you'll read his life. It was a life of triumph and a life of trouble. It was a life of blessings. It was a life of bitter disappointment. Just for example, one thing, you know, when he worked for his uncle Laban, and he had a daughter, Leah and Rachel. Leah was the oldest and Rachel was the youngest. And he fell in love with Rachel. And he wanted to marry Rachel. And his uncle Laban said, "All right, you can have her, but you'll work 7 years." Now, 7 years is a long time. And he worked hard for 7 years. And it came the wedding day. And they stood up and were married. And those girls were covered with veils. When he lifted the veil, it wasn't Rachel. It was Leah. Now you think about that. 7 years. Disappointment. And he said, "What was going on?" His uncle said, "It's not right for the younger daughter to be married for the old one, so you got to marry the old one." He held his peace. That's, you know. And labored 7 more years for the love of Rachel. He labored 14. You know, she must have cared a great deal for him. A man that works 14 years to marry you must care a great deal about you. He's a picture of the love of our Redeemer for us, isn't it? But his was a life of disappointment. His sons... Boy, I tell you, they were something. And then his life was a life of revelations, but a life of tribulations. And here he's in another one of those spots. Deep, deep, deep trouble. Trouble. I read it. You listened to it. Esau was coming to meet him. It says here in verse 7, he was greatly afraid and distressed. Distressed. Esau was coming to meet him, angry. And he just knew that Esau was going to kill every one of them. He had 400 men with him. He wasn't coming to meet his brother for a family reunion, a picnic. He was angry. So Jacob prayed. I want to notice something before I look at his prayer. I note that he acted with intelligence and wisdom. Did you notice this? That in verse 7, and he divided the people that were with him. He didn't just throw up his hand and say, well, what will be, will be. He acted with some wisdom. He's going to do what he can to save his children and wives. So he divided them up. This is intelligence. This is a man using his... God gave him wisdom, understanding. And he divided them up into two bands. And he said, now, in the morning or tomorrow, whenever, you all go this way and the other band go that way. And if Esau falls upon one and destroys it, the other, he'll think that's all of us. And the other will escape. And then he prayed. And there's some wonderful, wonderful prayers in the Bible. We were discussing this recently. And wonderful prayers. Somebody read one of the prayers of one of the men. Inspirational prayers, devotional prayers, mighty God-glorifying prayers. But this prayer right here, 9, 10, 11, 12, four verses. This prayer, there's none more applicable to me and to you at this time. And in our need, and in our great trouble, more than this prayer right here. More than this prayer right here. And good, he was greatly distressed, greatly afraid. All right, let's look at seven things about this prayer. Number one. Now let's study this prayer, and this is real. This is real. This is where it is. Now let's study it. All of us together. Number one, Jacob cried, O God. O God of my father Abraham. His prayer is unto the Heavenly Father. I was down at the hearing aid center yesterday and I drove up behind a car and it says, pray the rosary. No, sir. He's not counting beads. And he's not praying to Jude or Peter or James or Mary. O God of my Father. O God, his prayer is unto the Heavenly Father, the one whom our Savior, the one to whom our Savior taught us to pray, our Father which art in heaven. The least of us, the weakest of us, call upon the Father. Oh God. And then his prayer, staying under this first point here. Oh God, it's a prayer out of desperation and trouble and pain. Oh God. You see how. Oh, God. I know you can identify with that. Oh, God. I cried unto the Lord out of my trouble. Paul said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Oh, God. Now, we've begun to pray when we pray like that. As Bob said in his prayer, we're not heard for our words. We're heard for the sincerity of our hearts. Oh God. And then his prayer is to him whom Jacob knows to be his only source of help. Oh God. the only source of help, the only source. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and this is what they said, O God. I'm convinced of it. And really and truly, that'd be sufficient. And she stopped right there, O God. You don't need to tell him anything. You don't need to tell him anything. He knows better than you. He knows me, and he knows my heart. He knows my motive. He knows my desire. He knows my thoughts before I think them. He knows what I need. He knows what's good for me. Oh, God. But that's the object of his prayer. Secondly, now watch this. Oh, God of my father Abraham and God of my father Jacob. Now listen to me real carefully. He's not calling upon God simply because he thinks he might find some pity or sentiment or emotion in God. Jacob knows he has one license and allowance for approaching God, and that's the covenant mercies of God. You see what I'm saying? This is not just some unhappy creature in God's kingdom, some frightened mouse. This is a son of Abraham. And this son of Abraham is pleading with his father on the basis of a covenant which his father made with Abraham's seed, which is Christ. See what I'm saying? Jacob here is claiming the covenant. Now let's go back and see. I told you I was going to read what God said to him in Genesis 28 at Bethel when God met him. In Genesis chapter 28. Verse 12. Let's read verse 11. Now let's go with me here now. Chapter 28, verse 11. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. He took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillar and lay down in that place to sleep. He wasn't seeking God. God is seeking him. He didn't come here to meet God. God brought him here to meet him. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, Jacob, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all thy places whither thou goest. I'll bring thee again unto the land. I'll not leave thee until I've done that which I have spoken of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. Now listen. And said, surely the Lord's in this place. And I knew it not. I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place. It's none other but the house of God. Jacob prayed out of the depths, oh God. But the basis, the foundation, the license on which he approached God is God's sovereign mercy to him. That's right. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for me, who can be against me? And that's the only way to pray. The Lord Jesus said, pray, our Father, which art in heaven. How's he my father? By his choice. By his regenerating power and new birth.
by his covenant of grace, he's my Father. Everybody who is of faith is a son of Abraham and a son of God. And that's the God, the Father of my father, Abraham. All right, thirdly. And he pleads the word of God. Listen to this. You said to me, like verse 9, Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord, which said to me, return unto thy country. You said for me to do what I'm doing. Yes, he did. Turn back here to Genesis and see if I can find it. 31. Genesis 31, verse 1. Look at this, Genesis 31, 1. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's. And of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban. He looked at his uncle Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. Laban was upset with him. God had blessed him. Jacob didn't take it away. God gave it to him. You remember Laban told Jacob, said now, he was a crook. Laban was. He said, now you can have the speckled calves. Every calf that's born speckled is yours. Well, when do you have a speckled calf? Just once in a while. All the calves were speckled. Read it. And then he took it back and he said something about, well, you can have the calves at a ringtail. I don't know anything about a ringtail calf, do you? But that's what he said. Just once in a while. The whole lot was ringtail for the next 2 years. That's what happened, and Laban was upset. God was blessing Jacob. Now listen, verse 3. And the Lord said to Jacob, go home. Leave, return unto the land of your fathers and your kindred, and I'll be with you. And that's what he's claiming in the prayer. Now go to the prayer. He said, Father, O God, God, Father of my Abraham and Isaac, my father, you told me to go home. And look at verse 12. And you said, I'll surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea. And I'm saying this, when we pray, let's base our prayers and our claims and our petitions on his promise. Now, what's wrong with this when you pray? Can you find promises? Can I find promises to plead? Lord, you said, ask and we'd receive. Isn't that what you said? Didn't you say, knock and it shall be open? Didn't you say, seek and you'll find? You said that. You said, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe and you'll have. You said that, Lord. You said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You said, if you being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? That's what he said, right? You said, if any be sick among you, call the elders of the church and anoint them with oil, and the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Isn't that what you said? And that's where Jacob's prayer. And I challenge us to pray the same way. Jacob said, I'm in a mess, but you told me to go home. I'm in trouble, but you said you'd never leave me, never forsake. That's what you said. That's what you said. And if a father, I'll pick any father here. Any father here. I'll take Mike Bartram. And if he says to his daughter Leah, who's 14, I said, honey, when you're 16, Dad's somehow going to get you a car. You have my word for it. Would it be wrong for her on her 16th birthday to knock on your bedroom door real early and say, Dad, I'm 16. And you say it. You say it. That's what you said. And you'd say, honey, that's what I'm going to do too. If I said it, that's what I'm going to do. And that's what Jacob's saying. Isn't that the way he's praying? You say it. You say it. He's basing his prayer out of desperation, oh God. He's basing his prayer on a covenant relationship. You made me your son. And you said you'd do something. You said. All right. All right, look at the next line, verse 10. He disclaims any merit. Here's number 4. He disclaimed any merit of worthiness. He didn't claim any worthiness. He says, I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies. Just pick out the least. Pick out breath. I'm not worthy to have breath. I'm not worthy to be able to lift my arm. I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies. To smell a flower, I'm not worthy of that. I talk about not being able to hear. I'm not worthy to hear. I ought not hear anything by nature. What are we grumbling about? Barnard, you say anything this side of hell's mercy, because we sure don't deserve it. I'm not worthy. He said, I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies, and I'm not worthy of all the truth you've shown me. God's shown this outfit here some truth. Did you know that? There's more truth been preached here per square inch than anywhere in this country in the last 45 years. Truth! I'm not worthy of all the truth. The mercies and the truth. But you've blessed me. Look at here, just rest that verse 10. You bless me. All which you've showed your servant, for with my staff I came over this Jordan. When he's running from Esau and home, this old boy didn't have anything but a shirt on his back. That's what he said. I had a staff in my hand. And I crossed this Jordan. And some of you, well, some of you, all of us, didn't have anything. Nothing. And look what you have now. Look what we have. That's what he's saying. God, I'm not complaining. I'm not, God help me, I'm not complaining. I'm not finding fault with your providence. I'm not worthy of the least of your favor. I'm not worthy of any of the truth you've shown me. And Lord, look where I am. Look where I came from and look where I am. Look what I have. You don't have any difficulty in owning the fact that we're mercy beggars. That's one of my favorite people here in this congregation. That's one of his favorite prayers. Brother Cecil, I'm a mercy beggar. I love that statement. I think it originated with you. I'm a mercy beggar. You ain't in trouble with that? Jacob didn't. I don't pray for anything because I deserve it. You don't either. Not for a moment. I don't pray for anything because I'm worthy of it. Everything I am and have and know and hope to be is by His grace. It's not my goodness I'm pleading. It's His. You said. That's what Jacob, isn't that what Jacob's pleading? You're not pleading any worthiness. Well, who do you think you are? I know who I am. It's not a matter of thinking. Jacob knew who he was, but he wasn't pleading his goodness, he's pleading God's goodness. You say it. He wasn't pleading his worthiness, he was pleading God's worthiness. He wasn't asking for mercy because he loved God, he was asking for mercy because God said he loved him. Isn't that what he said? That's what we base our prayers on. Not because we love God, because He loves us. He said so. And your children don't beg things because they love you. They beg things because you ain't no good and well. You love them. You love them. We're not asking for anything because he's ours. We're asking something because we're his. That's what Moses, when he interceded for Israel, he said, you're going to destroy these people? Well, they're your people, they're not mine. You're the one that called them. You're the one that made them your own. Are you going to bring reproach on your name, God, and destroy these people and have everybody say, well, he didn't love them anyway? Vindicate your character. That's what Moses said. Isn't that what he said? You might have right he did. And God loved him for it. God loved him for it. You said. And then listen to his petition, number 6, in verse 11. It's very simple. It's very plain. He didn't tell the Lord how to do it or when to do it. He just said, Lord, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. I'm afraid lest he come out and smite me and the mother with the children. And I'm saying, praying two words, deliver me. He didn't tell the Lord how. No eloquence, just plainness of speech. Like Bob said, no much speaking. No bargaining. He didn't say, now Lord, if you will, I'll mark it. He didn't promise anything, did he? Lord, if you do this, I will. I've heard that too much. I've been guilty of that. I promised to do this, that, and the other. Just leave it off. Leave it off. We don't bargain with God. Lord, deliver me. That's all he said. Deliver me. And you know what he did? Verse, he quoted that verse 12. You said, I'll surely do thee good. He said it again, and I'll make your seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered. But look at verse 13. Here's the seventh thing about this prayer. And he lodged there that same night, and he took of that which came to his hand. And in the next few verses, you'll find 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats and 200 ewes and 20 rams and 30 milk cows with their colts and 40 kine and 10 bulls and 20 she-asses and 10. I'm telling you, that's some gift, isn't it? He's getting that all together to give to Esau. Gonna give it to him now, won't you? What do you see there, preacher? I see that Jacob was not resigned to defeat, nor fatalism. He just didn't say, well, I'm going to sit here and die. He went about doing something to reconcile Esau. See what I'm saying? It's like we preach. We preach. We ask God to save sinners, but we preach to sinners. We don't sit down and say, well, if he's going to save me, he's going to save me. If he's not, no, we're going to preach to him. We'll depend on him to meet our needs, and yet we'll work and labor to support our families. Isn't that right? We'll look to him for all things, and yet we'll search his word to find his will. You like saying what? Jacob's going out to meet Esau, and he's prayed, God, deliver me. But he's thinking in his heart now, God may be pleased to use means. So I'm going to get together some things here to show Esau that I'm going to be kind. I'm a different man from what I left home. I'm going to show him that. So he gathered these things together. I'll rest in the truth that salvation's of the Lord, and yet I'll employ the means that he puts to my hand. And that's what he's doing there. He lodged there that night, and he got these things together. And then he went to meet Esau. And when he saw Esau, he said, this is what I have for you. Esau said, well, I have enough. And Jacob said, Esau, I have everything. I have God. Well, I hope that's a blessing. It was to me. I feel like that the Lord gave me some things to say on this subject of Jacob's prayer. He make it a blessing to your heart. Our Father, Lord God, we cry unto Thee out of the depths. We're needy creatures. As our brother says so often, we're mercy beggars. And Lord, our plea and our foundation of calling upon Thee is not our love for Thee, but Thy love for us. That everlasting covenant of mercy that You made with us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not because we love Thee, You loved us. And we're Your sons, we're Your children. Behold, what manner of love You bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. And Lord God, we call upon Thee because You are our only help. Mercy must come from Thee. Healing must come from Thee. Deliverance, salvation, forgiveness, everything by Your grace, through the blood and righteousness and the merit of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we cry unto Thee in His name, Lord, deliver us. Lord, deliver us. Be with those who are weak and helpless, sick and distressed, in need of Your mercy. Lord, deliver us. You said, whatsoever things You desire, when you pray, believe, you shall have them. Ask and you shall receive. We're asking. We're seeking. We're knocking. We're calling upon You. Pleading Your love, Your mercy, and Your word. Vindicate Yourself and Your word on behalf of Your people. Lift their burdens. Minister to them. Show us a token in our day for good. Encourage our hearts. Lift our spirits. Give us cause, O Lord, to rejoice in Thee. Special cause. Silence the voice of the enemy who says, where is Your God? Our God's in the heavens. And He hath done whatsoever He pleased. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven, earth, and the seas, and all deep places. To Him be the glory, always, ever, all the glory, from this day forward and forevermore. In His blessed name, the name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do pray and call upon Thee. Bless the word preached for Your glory and our good for Christ's sake. Amen.